explicitly in Bamas that if you have a Geirus not supervised by a Bezin, so the whole Geirus is bottle of a Vutl, even on a level of the right. The problem was that the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Yevamos a story, multiple stories about people who had funny kinds of Geirusim. And then later on, the Amorim said, it's okay, it's all right. Why do they tovel and they do so? And since the woman, even though the original tefillah apparently was not acceptable, since she subsequently kept on going to the mikveh b'toras taras mishpacha, so some of that's going to be all right. So the Rishonim all bothered the kasha. Here's the basin, up to the basin. So last week we spoke about some of the innovative answers in the Rishonim. We saw some Rishonim said that the basin is made up of one woman. She's the mikveh lady, she's the basin. That was a highly, highly controversial shita. Then you had another opinion that tells us, quotes that maybe the basin is the Adon Tzadeh, that we're all aware of the fact that she's going to mix the maybe that's the basin. Those are two chudashim, two chudash tikkurim. So comes Taisus in the Rush and say what's considered to be, in a certain sense, the more conventional approach, is that we have to go back to the sugya of the requirement of basin for geirus and ask ourselves which part of geirus really requires a basin. The mila, the tefila, or the mitzvahs. So Taisus suggests that maybe meikra din min haTorah, the only part of Geirus that makes sense to require a Beis Din is Kabbalah Mitzvahs. That makes a lot of sense. What is Kabbalah Mitzvahs? Kabbalah Mitzvahs is, there's a discussion, there's a give and take, we have to analyze, we have to assess, is the person serious, not serious? That's in the realm of Beis Din. Tevilah, well, even the person went to make a dinner with a mikvah. So what do we need a Beis Din for? So it could be that the whole din of Mishpat Ksivbet, that you require Beis Din, absolutely kuva for Geirus, maybe that was only said in the Kabbalah Mitzvahs. Now, grant, Taisa says, Lechatchila, you're supposed to have a Beis Din for the whole thing. The Gemara says explicitly that the tefillah is supposed to take place in front of a Beis Din. But Taisus argues maybe that's not likuva, maybe that's not minat Torah, maybe that's only minat Rabbanan. The rice and maybe only the kabbalas and mitzvahs has to be present in the context of a Beis Din. That's Taisus and the Rosh suggest. And then there's a fourth approach to this topic, which is seems to be clearly what the Shita Sarabim is, that the entire question didn't even off the ground. The premise of the question was, what's going on? How in the world? Can you have a geirus taking place with a tefillah nidah is not in the context of Beis Din? So the Rambam says, who in the world told you that the tefillah nidah is the tefillah geirus? The Gemara said, milo tam lo nidus. What does that mean? So when the Rambam, in the Surah B'Yah, quotes that Gemara, he adds something to the Gemara. He says, if you have a situation where somebody apparently was Megayer, and now we're not sure whether the geirus was good, it was very unclear what was going on, and now we see they've acclimated to the Jewish community, it's a woman, she's going to the mikvah all the time, and then the Rambam says, startling, and she's being mafish chala. Mafish chala. Mafish chala. So the Rambam's telling you what Jewish women do. So the Rambam continues and says, she goes to the mikvah, she's being mafish chala, everything looks good, everything looks right. Mistama, the original Geirus was not properly. Mistama that the Beis Din originally had taken care of it, it had already been done, kedasu chedin. The Rambam was learning the Gemara entirely different than all the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim are learning the Gemara that we're missing the original tefillah, and now we're trying to substitute the original tefillah with some other kind of a tefillah called tefillah sanida, and we're running into a dilemma, where's the basin? According to the Rambam, that's what we're doing all day. According to the Rambam, the tefillah sanida is not the tefillah geirus. Where's the tefillah geirus? 20 years before. We didn't have absolute ironclad evidence to that effect. We can't find the dayanim. No one's alive. No one remembers. We don't have any documentation. But we know for a fact this woman has been living a normal, observant life for 20 years. Proof positive, she goes to the mikvah. Proof positive, she's mafish chala. Proof positive, she keeps Shabbos. Proof positive, she's saying tellum all day. According to the Rambam, the going to the mikvah is not the geirus. The going to the mikvah is the proof that there must have been a geirus at one time in the history. So according to that pshat in the Gemara, then the Gemara is not saying anything. The Gemara is not telling you anything new about the tefillah geirus. The Gemara is just giving you another way to ascertain whether a proper geirus is taking place. So when all the dust settles, there's a major machlokes in the Rishonim 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. What is the din? Halacha l'maaseh. If a person goes ahead today and does a geirus, that the kabbalas and mitzvahs is supervised by the Beis Din, but the tefillah is not supervised by the Beis Din. Would that be good or not good? So according to Tosafot, that would be good. If the Eved says, remember I say that would be good. According to other days of Rishonim, including the Rambam, that would not be good. But the Eved, that geirus would be very, very problematic. That when we say that a Beis is necessary for geirus, so it has to, that applies to all the aspects of geirus, not just kabbalas and mitzvahs. What about within the Machbir, within those opinions that maintain that not just Kabbalah and Mitzvah requires Beis Din, even Tefillah? What would you say about Mila? Would Mila also require a Beis Din? So that's a further debate. So if you hold that only Kabbalah and Mitzvah needs Likul, then obviously Mila is the same as Tefillah. But if you hold that Tefillah does need, is there any reason for the friendship between Mila and Tefillah? Maisha says, he thinks that even if you hold that Tefillah requires a Beis Din, maybe you can be Megal on Mila. Why is that? Because Mila is not the Gemara Geirus anyway. It's like a throwback where we spoke about switching the order. Remember, we had a machlokes, so we showed him, can you flip the order? So the Rashba said, you're not going to flip the order. Why? Because because the tefillah is the Gemara Geirus. So Moshe writes that according to some Rishonim that's true, according to other Rishonim you can flip the order. Says Moshe, whichever is the Gemara Geirus, if Lamaisi you're doing tefillah last, that requires a basin. If you're doing mina last, that requires a basin. Whatever is the mechanism that transforms the person from being a goy to being a Jew, that has to be done under the auspices of a basin, according to the Machmir. So we have now a lot of different possibilities here. According to some Rishonim, only people say this is likuva, nothing else really matters. According to others, everything matters. According to others, whatever the kabbalah bits is for sure, and then whatever the gemara hadavar has to be in front of the basin.
So, sorry, Reb Moshe would be okay with the
No, no, Reb Moshe is say, Reb Moshe not taking a stand on that. Reb Moshe is going to say, according to those who say, if flip the order, then the basin would be needed for the last part of the order. Since we would never flip the order, we have to show all the good. So for us, Mila doesn't really need a basin. Lamaisa, how do we practice on this? Of course we run a basin for Geirus. We're sugar, we're not going to run a basin for Geirus. Of course we require a basin for all parts of the Geirus. We insist on doing it, everything we do in front of the basin, the meal, the tefillah, the mitzvah, everything has to be done in front of a basin. But the yevid, if it wasn't all you had to fill us in it, so then you have to fill all that out of Pascha 2 days of Shomer HaFar. But the normal protocol has to require the tefillah as well. Not only that, the Gemara itself says that they used to do, the practice in the Gemara was they used to do a tefillah in front of basin. So of course the din is in Shomer HaFar. Avad, you have to do a tefillah, either likuvah or at least a chila, in the presence of Beis Din. What constitutes in the presence of Beis Din? So we already saw last week that there was a little bit of almost like a watered down version of what it means in the presence of Beis Din. That maybe the presence of Beis Din doesn't mean they have to literally see it. Maybe ABCD is also good. That was Reb Moshe with Chol Yisrael, the whole thing we spoke about, that Yesh Mefarsh Vaday and Tazin Yavamas. So maybe one could argue, there were some who suggested, that maybe the definition of what constitutes Fnei Beis Din could perhaps be watered down a little bit in the following sense. But what if the Beis Din is not mamish sitting in the room and literally watching the person go under the water level? So I suggested with me that maybe that's also good enough. As long as the Beis Din knows that the person went, how does the Beis Din know? And they heard the splash, they heard the water, that maybe there's a mikvah is watching that. Maybe there are other ways to ascertain that the person went under the water without an absolute 100% visual inspection. So again, such an idea was suggested, and others disagreed with that. But Moshe was not in favor of that. Moshe felt that didn't constitute a tefillah from a Beis Din, which again will then lead us to the old channel, but maybe the other, did it anyway, but again, that's 22 days of Shulchan Aruch. We generally, when we convert people, we like people to be Jewish Shulchan Aruch. We don't want to have walking around people that we're not quite sure that they're totally on 2 days of Shulchan Aruch whether they're Jewish or not. That's not a good system to set up for us. So Moshe strongly was insistent. When you run a tevilah, so you have to have the Beis Din mamash in the room. It's literally like the old style. That was clearly the practice in the days of the Gemara. That was the practice in the days of the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. There's been traditionally 3,000 years plus. The way to do Geirus is the Beis Din to supervise the entire process with Chilul Yatzayif. The reason why this became a little bit shaky, why some weren't so comfortable with this, was it does raise a little bit of an issue in terms of tzniyas. When a woman is converting, so how in the world is the Beis Din going to supervise what's going on? The mamash going to watch it go under the water? So the Gemara talks about this. The Gemara already came from the name, so we don't have to be firm within the Amorim. The Amorim said, that they would first the woman would go into the water up to her neck before the Beis Din would come in, and the Dayana would come in, and they would give her a quick and the Kabbalah Sabitis in the water, and then she would be tovel, they would wash her head go down, and they wouldn't see anything inappropriate, and sure they would run out of the room, and Shalom Yisrael. So that was the way Geirus was practiced in the Beis Din. That's the way Geirus should continue to be practiced. But there were some who had issues with that. So again, there were some people years ago, some Gedolia Poskim, who raised this issue with a very legitimate concern. And there were some Gedolia Poskim who came up with this idea. And then there were other people in the more recent years who raised it as part of a general agenda against anything has anything to do with Masara and anything to do with anything else in this world. So we're not even going to address that. It's not worth it to waste that time talking about that. So you should be aware of the fact that the regular standard ways that what they did in respect to what they do gave us today is the same way it's been done with Dairus, and it's done in its new way, and there's nothing to be nervous about. It should be done properly.
You can't just let her go
in the
loose clothing.
What? Okay, so maybe that could potentially be discussed whether we would like to do that or not. Ikra then that would work, but we don't like to do it. Tefillah is in loose clothing with Achila. So again, there may be, if and when there a particular, unbelievable Shas and Chach would come up and we'd have to deal with this, then the Rabban of the Pesach would have to discuss it. But, in contrast to some people who just wanted to cross Dinim out of Gemaras and Rams and Shulchan Aruch, so we're not going to go down that way. Okay, there is one other related topic to this idea of Beis Din, and the Gemara says that because Geirus requires a Beis Din in some shape or form, therefore the Geirus has to be done in the daytime, it can't be done at night, because you're not allowed to have The reason I was like is, we've shown him just how serious is that problem. What if the Eved, you went ahead and you did a Geirus tonight, would it be Chal in the Eved? Or should we say, since the Bezdin can't function at night, therefore it's like it's tantamount to a Geirus without a Bezdin. So in Chashem Mishpat, there's a Machlokes that we've shown him, what if you have a regular Din Torah at night? What's the Din? So Lechet Chil, you're not supposed to run Din Torah at night. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, if you start the Din Torah, if Din Yomnes Bayom, then Metchil Bayom Lagrom Balayla. If you start the Din Torah, the Mamash begin the Din Torah, have to come say to stop the process itself at night, so that you're not allowed to do. So as a machlekes we showed him, is that ma'akev b'diavad? What if b'diavad you did at night, is the din kosher or not? So the Rishonim quoted Rashbam, it seems to say that it would be kosher b'diavad, and the Rishonim have big problems with that. The Rosh, the Rabban, a lot of kashas the Rishonim have against that sheep. So when it comes to geirus, that's what some Rishonim say, when it comes to geirus, the same is true, that since they absolutely require a beis din, so that if you do it at night, so that's going to be a problem. Unless you argue that you don't really need a beis din for tefillah, if you go down that route of Tosas and the Rush, that the din of beis din is only talked about the mitzvah, so that if the tefillah itself doesn't meet your din mikuva, the Torah doesn't require a beis din, then the laila is not going to include it either. So we should discuss this in the context of the fact that those who should have learned the Gemara and Yevamos Kipshut, not like the Rambam, learned that mila medusa means that the tefillah's nida is going to be the tefillah. Women generally go to the mikvah night. The Gemara is in the end of Maseches Nida now. Sometimes min haTorah, sometimes min haRabbanan. But women are supposed to go to the mikvah at night. So it's hard to believe that a tefillah's nida that the Gemara is talking about was not a tefillah of Balayla, and yet some of the other it's still good. So some Mishnayim say yes, because tapa tefillah's tefillah doesn't require basically kufa. So that's why it's good at night. Other Rishonim say maybe night was never a paisel. So there are different answers to that question. But again, this is all b'diav, b'shasachah. Under normal circumstances, geiruses are supposed to be done in the daytime. They're not supposed to be done at night. This a few years ago, they needed. I wonder, but they didn't needed some help. They asked me if I would sit on a couple of cases of geirus. So I hid behind the fact that I said that unless you can change the halacha, that name is Gairim Balayla, I wasn't around in the daytime. Unless I say I'm in yeshiva all day, so I told him I couldn't help them. So I was holding on to the fact that it's Akab and the other. If anyone would have gotten to smarter than me, so I would have had to come with another excuse. Okay. Anyway, getting back to this story. The Gemara raises another question about possibly doing a geirus on Shabbos and Yontif. I'll save a lot of time. We'll have more time on Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara says you can't do a geirus on Shabbos and Yontif. Why not? The Gemara says in Yevamos, because it's a problem of tikkun ha'adam, because that's fixing the person. The person used to be Najuk. Now you're fixing him up to give him a condition to Israel. So that's a problem. So the same way you're not allowed to do makhle fatish, so you're not allowed to table the person. Similar to the Gemara says in Masechus Beit, you're not allowed to table Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The other Gemara was talking about Tfilas Kalim B'day Tuma. The Shalom just showed him whether that carries over to what we call Tfilas Kalim today for other reasons. Tfilas B'day Tuma, the Gemara says you're not allowed to do. So one of the reasons that's given is it's Nirik Masakin. It looks like you're fixing up the Kli. So if it looks like you're fixing the Kli, it looks like you're fixing the person as well. We were just talking about this in Shia today, so the Lama Gimel about why is there only a Tikkun Derabana, what's a Tikkun Deraisa, and another Shah, enough for now. But the rest of the Farish and Beitia, you're not allowed to do Tfilas Kalim on Shabbos and Yontif. So to me, when your mother says, you're not allowed to do Tfilas other for Geirus on Shabbos and Yontif. The problem that the Rishonim are bothered with is that the Gemara in Beitia says you are allowed to do Tfilas other on Shabbos. Tfilas Kalim is also on Shabbos, but on Yontif, but Tfilas other is Mutter. Why the difference with most of the Farish? Because other is Nirik Yemeke, because it looks like he's going to take a dip. It looks like he's just going to jump in and cool off a little bit. If you see a guy taking a pop, putting into a pool of water, he's probably doing Tfilas Kalim, but that's a problem. It doesn't look right. If a guy is going just to jump into the water on Shabbos, it doesn't look so bad. It looks like he's just cooling off. So as long as he's not swimming, as long as it's not hot water, so me and Iker did, it's okay. We have a minute, we don't bathe in cold water on Shabbos, and Yontif, but that's not me, Iker did. So the Rishonim of Bava Dekashe, the Gemara says in Beitza that by a person, you don't have this concern of Nirik and Misakin, because it's always Nirik and Meikir. So why all of a sudden does that pose a problem of Geirus? So why aren't you allowed to do Geirus on Shabbos Yontif? What's the problem? So Tyson Yevamos explains that Geirus is worse. Why? Because Geirus is very hard to explain that the guy's going to take a little dip into the water. Tyson says he's coming with a whole entourage of a basin, and the basin's asking questions, and they're giving him a whole give and take, and a whole questions and answers in the mikvah about he's going to keep Shabbos kashrus, etc. And you can say he's just going swimming. It's hard to believe. So for the context, that it looks like it's clearly for some religious reason, it's clearly Jewish, it's clearly a geirus going on, that's what undermines the ability to be able to just hide behind Nirik and Meikir. So when all the dust settles, Taisa says, even though normally we permit Tfilas HaAdam, we let women go to Mikvah and Shabbos and Yontif, when it comes to Tfilas Geirim, we won't let it, because by Geirim, you don't have that kula of Nirik and Meikir to hold on to. And the Rambam seems to disagree with this, because the Rambam, when he quotes the Din, that you're not allowed to have a geirus and Shabbos and Yontif, so the Rambam writes other reasons. The Rambam writes, because the Jews you the Beis Din, so you can't have a Maisa Beis Din on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Different reason than Gamre. So the Mishabura points out that the Rambam seems to say that the Machlokes are so used. The real emes reason why you can't have a Geiros on Shabbos is not because of Tikkun, because we postulate the Sugya Beis that there really is no problem of Tikkun on Tfilas HaAdam. The real reason is because of Beis Din. So again, in all the dust cells, doesn't make a slight bit of difference. Halach Lemaisa, we can't do Geiros on Shabbos, can't do Geiros on Yom Tov, can't do Geiros at night. A lot of times on the calendar, but we can't do Geiros, and many of those limitations on the Geiros emanate from the fact that there's a real Beis Din component to it. And therefore, the Beis Din doesn't function on Shabbos and Yom Tov according to the Rambam. The Beis Din doesn't function by Laila the way we hold. And therefore, we have certain limitations in terms of the Zman of Geiros. Okay, so up until now, we've been talking about the role of Beis Din, the significant role of Beis Din. Even in Shulchan, we spent a lot of time last week defining what exactly constitutes a Beis Din, what's kosher to be in a Beis Din, what Beis Din is supposed to be doing and not doing. Now we move into a unique part of Geiros, where a very, very relevant to Maisa topic in Geiros, where the role of Beis Din almost takes on a whole new approach to it. Wearing the Beis Din is, in a sense, wearing a whole new hat. In addition to serving as the Beis Din just for the Geiros proper, the Beis Din takes on a whole new dimension, and that's the beginning of the sugya of Ger Katan. So that sugya begins on Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara, very famous Gemara, tells us that Amar Rav Huna Ger Katan, Rav Huna Sa'al Das Beis Din. You can have a Ger Katan, someone under the age of Bavas Mitzvah, we can convert them, as long as the Beis Din is supervising what's going on, and everything is evolving, everything is wonderful. So the Gemara says about this din, if I would have been sitting in Rav Huna's yeshiva when he said this din, I would have raised my hand and said, Rebbe, where did this come from? How could this be? It doesn't make any sense. A Katan can't do anything. A Katan can't do a Kaddish Nisha, can't sell a bag of potatoes, all of a sudden you become Jewish, and the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So I would have jumped on Rav Huna and asked him, and not immediately. So the Gemara also jumps on Rav Huna, except it asks a little bit of a different question. The Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara says, it's so obvious. You don't need, in yeshivas, they're considering super stuff Yad Aleph for weeks on end. That's not indicative of anything. It's in a lot of things for weeks on end. But this is a big, big sugya in Shas. And the Gemara just says one question about Pshita. It's obvious. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can figure that on his own. That, of course, it's work. Of course, it works. Why does it work? The Gemara says, the Pshita that it works, because Zachar Yad Aleph Shlomo Fun, because I can do things that are pages for somebody, even though they're not here. So we mean, even if they're not here, either physically they're not here, or halachically they're not here. Let's say, for example, I want to give you a gift. So if you happen to be in China, no problem. I give it to Reuben. And I said, Reuben, receiving a gift is a good thing. So you please have in mind, you pick up this gift on behalf of this fellow. Or I can have Zachar Shalom Fanav, even if the person is physically here, but he's not halachically here, I said a katan. So I want to give a katan a gift, so I'll give it to somebody else, since they have in mind, pick it up on behalf of the katan. So that's okay. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, Ger Katan V'Yosal Das Beis Din." In fact, Gemara Pshita. It's obvious, of course, it works because, after all, why is this any different than any other Zachar Shalom Fanav? We do Zachin in Chazayirvin. All Chazayirvin is based on Zachin. After we surround an area with walls and Tursa Pesach, then we have to be Mezachah the Box of Matzahs. So one guy gives it to another guy and says, "Pick it up for all the people in town." So he wants his pshita, you can do zachar fun of on Geirus as well. So the Gemara says, you're right, Yitaka can. The only reason why I need Rav Huna to tell me this is because I would have argued maybe being Jewish is not such a chutz. Maybe one could argue that the person already born a goy, maybe it's better to black the goy to remain a goy. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Yitaka is a chutz. We're going to discuss this because he's older, he's younger, the whole details. When it's a chutz, not a chutz. But the whole flow of the Gemara is that in terms of the pure aspect of zchus, the idea of applying the principles of zchus, is not a great deal of chedish. That if it works in other areas of halacha, it works in cheshev mishpat, so it should work in your day and uchas geirus as well. But that's the flow of the gemara. So on this gemara, the rishonim go to town and say, this is a very, very good problem. This gemara is just so polite, because there are two fundamental problems with applying the principle of geirus. There are two obstacles to understanding this gemara. First of all, the gemara says the feirush in many, many places. But see it if I know of other places that there's no zechir for goyim. Zachar Shalom Fanav doesn't work on behalf of goyim. I can't pick up a gift. If I want to give John a present, I can't give it to Reuben to pick up the John. That's not going to work. You can't do zachar on behalf of goyim. That concept of halacha just doesn't fly. So how in the world can you do zachar? The kid's not Jewish. So Tosh says, no, we're not going to lose too much sleep over that, because since he's becoming Jewish, at the moment that we're doing zechir, it's almost like a gita of yadav b'yom kiyachad. So that we can explain away. But Tosfos says, but that's not going to help entirely. Why? Because the whole institution of doing zachar on behalf of a katan, even though there are some shais and gemaras that say you can do that, but Tosfos says that's all mitzvah rabbanon. The whole institution of zechiyah for a katan doesn't exist in the world deraisha. Why doesn't exist in the world deraisha? Why is Tosfos so convinced it doesn't exist in the Torah? So Tosfos introduces us the principle of the major machlokes in the Rishonim called Zechiyah Mitam Shlichos, La Mitam Shlichos. We have two parshas in the Torah. There's the parsha of Shlichos, and the parsha of Zechiyah. So there's a major question as to what the relationship between those two parshas is. So some Rishonim say that Zechiyah is just a very, a fancy subcategory of Shlichos. Shlichos means that I appointed you as a Shlich with a meaning Shlichos, with an official appointment, the whole nine yards. And Zechiyah means that I didn't officially appoint you, but it's understood that you would be happy if I would do it, so it's Kilo, I appointed you, something like that. So Zechiyah is basically just a subcategory, the subset of the parasha of Shlichos. That's what he has to be sharing. That's what Tosfos writes in the Sefer Nedarim. The Gemara says in Nedarim that you could be mafresh truma, potentially based on the idea of Zechiyah. Let's say if I know that you haven't yet been mafresh yet truma, and I want to be a really, really nice guy to you, so I go ahead and I take my fruit. My fruit's tevel, so I wasn't mafresh yet. I take my apples and I say my apples should pop to your apples. So I'm such a tzaddik, I'm a nice guy. It's unbelievable schos for you. So Gemara says that should work. The only thing is the Gemara is not 100% sure it's schos. Why is it not schos? Maybe neighbor nechlin shmei mitzvah normally. Maybe people like to do mitzvahs themselves. Maybe the guy's going to be offended that I took away his opportunity to do mitzvahs of tshuva by himself. So the Gemara is trying to size up psychologically what people offended or maybe forget. But he's missing and being offended. He's happy because he saved a couple of apples. So the Gemara is not sure what the psychology is. Is the person happy, not happy? And so Tosfos on the spot in the Durham says, but you see from the Gemara that if not for the fact that maybe the guy's not happy, we would be okay with this. We would have no problems. We would have no qualms with this. Why? How does it work? Isn't there a din that a term is in a shalom is no good? I can't be mafresh truma for you. The only way I can be mafresh truma for you is you appoint him as a shaliach. It's a gemara in El Metzias. The ABCs of the chafal from Metzias. Every little kid knows this. That the din is that in order to be mafresh truma is nice, you need a tem gamatet. You have to be appointed as an official shaliach. So comes Tosfos and says, so how does it work? How does the gemara entertain the possibility of being mafresh truma based on zechiyah? So it must be, says Tosfos, zechiyah is the tam shalichos. The Zechiyah is the same as Shlichos. What's the difference? Shlichos, Shlichos, it's all the same thing. Here he was appointed, he wasn't appointed. It's Ilu, he's appointed, it's all good. It's all the same thing. Fine. So Tosfos turns around in Ksubas David Aleph and says, once we've proven to you that Zechiyah and Shlichos are really Hayu Hach, then just as Shlichos, we have a rule, Ain't Shlichos a Katan. You can't do Shlichos on behalf of a Katan. That's impossible. If a Katan appointed you to be a Shlichos, that doesn't work. A Katan has no Koch to appoint a Shlichos. The Gemara says that Pemolin. No one can do Shnachman Bey, says the Favorite. A Katan can't appoint a Shlichos. But the Gemara never says where the source for that did it. So Rashi says one thing, the Rabbi says something else, the Rabbi says, and all the Shem have different reasons how the Chazal figure this out. But at the end of the day, that's the din. For sure, no question that a Katan can't appoint a Shaliach. The Taisus connects the dots. The Taisus says, well, if a Katan can't appoint a Shaliach, so then how can you ever have Zechi on behalf of a Katan? Because Zechi is the same as Shalichos. So Taisus says, you're right, you can't have. Ivy Gemara says, you can't have. So Taisus says, if you look carefully, the Gemara Mitzvah, it means Midir Rabbanim. So Tosfos claims that the Gemara Mitzvah Ayin Alpha Beis, depending on what the Gerus of that Gemara is, Tosfos claims that the whole institution of Zechiyah for Katan does not exist in the Torah. So now that Tosfos just gave you a whirlwind tour through Hilchos Shlichos and Zechiyah, they put together Bar Mitzvah Dach Beis with the Dorn Dach Lamed Vav with the Bar Mitzvah Dach Ayin Alpha. Now with that whole Bekiyas, now they come to Ksubas Dach Yud Aleph and they say, wait a second, how in the world could you ever have a Ger Katan in the Torah if it's all predicated on Zechiyah and Zechiyah for Katan is only with Rabbanim and Zechiyah Mitam Shlichos? And the whole thing doesn't work. It doesn't work in a Torah. Tosfos presents a very startling possibility. Tosfos says, maybe you're right. Maybe Taka doesn't work in a Torah. So what does it work? It works with the Rabbanim. Maybe the guy's Jewish with the Rabbanim. In a Torah he's not Jewish, but the Rabbanim is Jewish. What? He's marrying a Jew. He's counting for the minion. He's blowing shofars, making matzahs. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos tries really, really hard to show, maybe you can dream up such an idea that he's only Jewish mitzvah. At the end of the day, that's not that. It doesn't make any sense. No, nobody holds like that. Nobody really holds like that. What kind of story is that? It's Jewish mitzvah, not Jewish mitzvah. I tell you, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So, Taka, what's the answer? Taka, the question is better than the answer. So, Taka, how does this gerus work? If the din is that zechiyah mitam shlichos and that those zechiyah for cut minatur, so Taka, how does it work? So, the easiest answer is to say that zechiyah is mitam shlichos. You're right. Zechiyah is not mitam shlichos. The whole thing was premised on a mistake. That shlichos doesn't exist for a katan, but zechiyah, which is not mitam shlichos, can exist for a katan. I the gemara in the darim, I was the gemara that twas toast his hand that zechiyah is mitam shlichos. So the Rash from the darim is a whole different view in that gemara. Rashi says that gemara is the exception to the rule because you only need shlichos when you're mafresh from somebody else's fruit. Because I can't go to your backyard and be mafresh your fruit without your express permission. But here in the case in the darim on the above, it's a torah mishalosh al chaveri. I'm taking my fruit instead of taking your fruit. So I'm taking my fruit. So there's no requirement of shlichus. I can do whatever I want to you. You don't need formal shlichus for that. Even zechiyah would be sufficient. So that's a big machlekes. It's a big machlekes. Achorim had it with the Rashba meant. It didn't mean, again, it's a choice about nothing else. But suffice it to say that Tois is sheet that Zechiyah is Lamitam Shlichus, that Zechiyah, I'm sorry, is Vitam Shlichus, that got the ball rolling, that disqualified the Gir Kotam and Torah, is highly, highly controversial. So according to Hefter Rishonim, the question didn't even get off the ground. But within the worldview of Tois, that there was a Kashas, that was the Terence. So how do you defend this idea of Zechiyah for a Kotam? And how in the world could Zechiyah for a Kotam work to make this person into a Gir and love up their eyes? So the Shach in the Simon Shin Hay in your day, Nuchas Pidgin Abed of all places, so the Shach in his Nekudas HaKesef, he explains to you what the answer to this question is. Why did he write Nekudas HaKesef? Because he wrote this parish on the Sada Shulchan Aruch. He wrote at the same time that Taz was writing his parish. Taz and the Shach were contemporaries, except there were 60 years between them. Taz was an older man, the Shach was a young first beginning of his career. So they were writing at the same time, but they didn't know each other's writings yet, so that's why they don't comment on each other's things. Then once the Taz was, once the different things were published, that each one got to read what the other had to say, then they realized how many things they disagreed with. So the Taz wrote, each one wrote back and forth to each other, different critiques back and forth. So the name of the Taz is Terezah, that's what it stands for, the Terezah. So the pasuk says Shirashirim Terezah Nasalach Im Nekudas HaKosef. So he wrote the Nekudas HaKosef should accompany the Terezah. What's the problem? Yeah, the problem is that it's tests. Terezah was with a test, because the Taz was a test, and Terezah was Shirashirim. So the Shach knew that also, but he still thought it was cute. Also, Ogi Shem, Shirbach, generally don't know when no one would catch on anyway. Anyway, so there's a long, long, long piece in Hilchos Pidgin Aben where he takes an issue with the Taz, and basically the Shach develops the following use, and he says that the Medrash Mamurim, that Zechiyah doesn't work for a Katan in a Torah, that's if you have a private Zechiyah, a personal Zechiyah. But if you have Zechiyah done there based, then that's a whole different world. Why is that? What's that based on? The Gemara Kiddush does there based. I quote a series of psukim from Parshas Maaseh. They talk about Nasi Echad Lamata. The psukim talk about how when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, they got to enter Eretz Yisrael, so Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint the Nasi for each one of the Shvatim. And the goal of that Nasi, the job of the Nasi, is Yimchalo Lamata. It's supposed to help people divide the land. Otherwise, Chayim Naftala is getting this whole big piece of land. You have 10,000 people. Who gets what? How do you know what to do? So each Nasi was in charge of dividing up the Yerusha properly. So the Gemara says that the Nasi was the representative of each of these people. So he would be Zeich on the land for each of the appropriate person. So the Gemara says that, but they were Katan there. They were kids under the age of Amitz, but were still getting a Chelek Meretz Yisrael. So how, because they were getting from the father's die, whatever it was, so how does that work? How could the Nasi work on behalf of the Katan? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a kasha, because this is the source of a din called Apotropos. There's a special din that when you have children under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah and they get money, usually they don't get money, but their parents die, they get a lot of Yerusha, so Bezdin has to step up with it. Can I also? Lahabu. Second court also, you put some kind of a person in charge of the property and let the head-year-old kid waste away all the money. So the Bezdin is responsible to set up an apotropos to be able to do business dealings with the child. So the Gemara says, where did they come from? The Mishnah is talking about apotropos. Who appointed apotropos? Who made up this idea of apotropos? So the Gemara says in Kiddush, it's based on these psukim, that the Nasi Lamata was the apotropos for the children under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. Well, Bas Mitzvah wasn't, they weren't getting chelik, but under Bar Mitzvah was based on the job that was part of the job of the apotropos. So the Gemara says, I there's no zechiyah for a katan. So the answer is, this is different. This is apotropos. Apotropos is a different version. So the Shach claims that that's what's going on in the sugya of Gekotan as well. The Gemara says, Gekotan, Rabbi Yosef, that's based in. So we thought that the word based in here is just necessary. Why do you need a based in here? You need a basin because you always need a basin for Gaelus. So the Shach says, oh, that's true. But here you need a basin for another reason. Because here you need a basin to serve as the apotropos, to serve as the halakhic representatives of the Katan, to get this Gaelus off the ground in the first place. If it would have been just based on regular Zechiyah, that tells us it's right. It wouldn't have worked in the Torah. So it must be that the mechanism that's playing out here is the mechanism of the Afghan basin. Why in the world is the Shach of his pitching of them? Because he's commenting on Shaila that the Taz was Ma'arich about what's the din if you have a child who comes to in front of us. We see this little kid is a month old, and there's no father. The father is not alive, the father is not from, the father is not here, the father is not well, the father is not Jewish. You have a million reasons there's no father. No one's doing Pidgin Aben for this kid. So what do? So do we do a Pidgin Aben for this kid or not? So the Achronim have a big, big, big machlokes. Can we pull off such a stunt or not? The Ramah says you can't do Pidgin Aben. So I disagree. Everyone knows what this answer is. So the Shach says he thinks that the answer to this question is, it depends. Maybe just as a private citizen trying to pull off a pigeon bed for this kid, it may not even work. Maybe there's no zechir for kotel, maybe the whole pigeon's not going to be chal. But if you do it derech Beis Din, if you point to Beis Din, so then it would be okay. So we've done that sometimes. Every once in a while you get these kind of kids, you know, their father's not Jewish, father's not here, whatever, from whatever the case is, and we want to put together a pigeon bed for this kid. The host can point out that not everybody agrees that these pigeon beds are going to work. So that's why the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that when they used to have these cases in Hungary, in this part of the world, so they would do a pigeon bed on the child, derech Beis Din, whatever they would do it. We do a pigeon bed when the kid is 31st day, but they wanted the kid to do another pigeon bed. We turned about this because maybe the first pigeon was no good, so they wanted to remember to do a pigeon bed the second time around without a bracha 13 years later. How are you going to remember? Who's going to remember in 13 years from now? So some Sefer writes that they used to write a little necklace. They would write a little piece of paper to be opened at Bar Mitzvah, and it would say on it, Sofik Padoi. And hopefully some rabbi will open up in 13 years and remember that that's what the Chuvah Chassam Sefer said, he's supposed to do a pigeon bed again without a bracha. So a year or two ago when we had to do one of these cases, these some pigeon beds, so we're trying to think of a little bit better etzah, so the guy put it on his phone, the guy put it in a reminder, in 13 years from now we should go, assuming he has the same phone, I don't know what the technology is going to be in 13 years, but who knows, the world will be around 13 years. But 13 years there's going to be a buzz that's going to go off and you're going to say, it's going to say something publicly, so we should remember the pigeon. Improves the day's comes up.
Why is the chiyuv there for the kohen? Why isn't the chiyuv the event of the father? So
the father's not around. The father's dead. The father's not Jewish.
So the chiyuv falls on the...
Yeah, so, but the problem is that he can't do it because he's bar mitzvah, so we do it as a chiyuv for him.
Right.
That's part of the shadow.
The father would just add the picture, though, in theory, couldn't you...
If the father was around, then he would be willing to do it, so then we'd have him do it. If the father's around and not willing to do it, so that also becomes complicated. But all these cases are, usually the father is not here physically, emotionally, whatever the case may be. Okay, good.
Sorry, you're saying most Rishonim say he is Jewish?
Everybody holds that he's Jewish. But,
One
Tosfos two around the half a minute, Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph. In the yeshivas, everyone thinks that Tosfos is popular because they only learn Ksubas Yud Aleph. Nobody holds that with their minds. Everyone holds that he's Jewish. The question is, how does it work? So does get cut and work either through the mechanism of regular zechiyah, maybe like the Rashba, zechiyah staka, does not mitam shalichus, or maybe it works through the mechanism of this unique kind of a new zechiyah, maybe a zechiyah idea. So Tosfos and Sanhedrin has an entirely different twist on the story. Tosfos and Sanhedrin, the beginning of Eitech and Sanhedrin, has a very different angle of the story. Tosfos, what in the world is doing in the middle of Sanhedrin, so the Gemara there is talking about It's talking about how old a person could be, what the youngest person could possibly be before they could have an old child. So there's a whole discussion about a couple of having money here. Guys like, yeah, a whole chagadja. So in the middle of this long Tosfos, beginning of the Eitech Sanhedrin, Tosfos raises the same question that they're raising Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph, how in the world do we ever get katan? What are the mechanics of get katan if you require zchus and there's no zchir for a katan? So Tosfos suggests that the zchir that's taking place in the parish of get katan is a different kind of zchir legamber. Normally, Zachar from Fana means that I ask you to pick up a gift on behalf of somebody else. So I hand you this safer and I say, hey, listen, Reuven's in China right now. I'm going to give it to you. You pick it up on behalf of Reuven. So you're providing the mice on behalf of Reuven. Reuven's 6,000 miles away. Or Reuven's under the age of Bar Mitzvah, so he can't even do anything if he wanted to. So I'm giving it to Shimon. Shimon should pick it up on behalf of Reuven. Here, Tosfos says, that's not what's going on. Here, the katan is going into the mikvah. On the katan, the boy, he's getting the brisplah. The nice geres is not the gufshal katan. So what's the zach shon for fun of? So the answer is the zechia is almost more on the das, so to speak. That means just taking a person and throwing them into the mikveh, that's not a geres. That's to be done for the purpose of geres. So the person who's the body that's representing this katan in a sense is the Beis Din. But at the end of the day, the geres is not the gufshal katan. So Tosfos says, if that's the case, so it's not really Zach Shal Bafanov. It's a different din lagamri. You don't even need the regular din of Zach Shal Bafanov. This is much better than Zachin. So when you're dealing with regular, plain old Zachin, then we have a big problem. We have run into a brick wall. And since we're not even talking about Zachin here, we're talking about Nasa Geirus Bukub Shokotan, so then we don't need the regular mechanism of Zachin. So the man is going to work for Kotan, even in their eyes. What's the problem with us? The problem is against the Gemara. The Gemara says the Farish, that the reason for the geirus is because of Amar Rav Huna, because of Zachar Shlom Afanim. So Tosfos goes on to explain that we misread the Gemara entirely. The Gemara is not explaining to us how the mechanism of geirus works. The Gemara is explaining to us Why would we ever do such a ridiculous thing? Why are we in the business of taking these Jewish ladies and bringing them to Jewish things? Mecha takes you to such silly things. So the answer is, well, it's good for people. It's a good thing. And we know the Torah likes us to be nice people. We're supposed to help people out. Zach Lev Shalva Fanav is built into the halachic system because it's understood that things that are advantageous for people, so it's appropriate to do. It's not considered to be overstepping your bounds, to do something that's helpful for somebody. Same way that it's not considered to be inappropriate to get a gift, to pick up a gift for somebody. It's not inappropriate to be the guy, this young child of the age of Bar Mitzvah. The Gemara was never asking how what the halachic technicalities, how it works. The Gemara was asking to justify why are we doing such a silly thing. Like, who put us into the business of being Megayer or Ketanim? So the answer is, Zachar Shalva Fanav gives us that ethical, moral, permissibility to go ahead and invoke these principles of Geirus. But in terms of the mechanism, the halachic mechanism of Geirus, so the halachic mechanism of Geirus is being done through the parasha of, not through Zachar Shalva Fanav, it's being done through a different parasha of Gam, right? Being done through the parasha of Naaseh Geirus, Bushukot, Lamais, the kids, and the Mikvah, the kids, and the water kids, as a bris milah, so he becomes Jewish on his own. So that's a whole other approach to this again. So when all the dust settles, we have three, four different approaches in the Rishonim, just to explain the ABCs. Everyone has to address this issue, how are we invoking Zochin? So one day it tells us is that we're invoking Zochin and we have a big, big problem, because Zochin doesn't work for a problem, so it's hanging on to that. And within that idea of Tosus, maybe you can water it down and say, well, this is a different kind of a Zochin. This is a Dachin Aydei Beis Din, so maybe that works. Or maybe you want to, maybe hold it to Rashi for that. Zochin Tachin does work for Kamen Torah. Or maybe you want to go down a different path to Gamma, like in Sanhedrin, that you don't even need Zochin. This is nothing to do with Zochin. This is a different Pasha, a different Din Lagam. So again, Yesh Vesh, different approaches in the Rishonim as to what's going on. At the end of the day, everyone agrees there's a Din of Girkot, but we have to figure out what the rationale was. Well, I said, why is all of this really, really relevant? At the end of the day, it works, and why is it so important to figure out how it works? Besides, the lumbus is always important. How does this impact for us? So we have to understand that the Gemara continues in Maseches Ketubos Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara puts the brakes on the din of Girkot. The Gemara says, "Yeah, Girkot is gedalik merdik, except for one thing." And if the child, when they turn bar bas mitzvah, decide they want to opt out, so then they have the ability to opt out. They can pull out. They can retract the entire geiras, and the pasha that the bar mitzvah is that the whole gear is now becomes mamish potum abutul in that Torah, whereas the mamish goes back to the state of being a guy. So how does that happen? It's sister Torah. So we're going to talk, hopefully, I think next week is the last of the lesson. So next week we're going to talk about almost like the post-gear state. It's like, what happens if the gear is the opposite gear, and then the gear, and the status of gear in terms of kurva and other things, and can a gear ever undo his gear? It's like the after the gear fact. But there's a cloud god, the Gemara says, Yavamas, he can't undo a gear once the gear is chal, chal. Sometimes you could prove the Geirus was done betal. Sometimes you could figure out there was a mistake. Okay, that's another story. But if the Geirus was tofes already, once the person's Jewish, just because they go off the Derech, that doesn't undermine the Geirus. So here, how do we understand the Siman? If the Geirus took effect, it took effect. What do we need to deal with? So the answer is that, according to most of Rishonim, that this is somehow an extension of the Parsha of Zochin, so that it makes a lot of sense. Because when it comes to Zochin, it's a regular Zochin, Medina Mamanis. So if I want to give you a gift, so if I say to you, pick up the Sefer on behalf of Reuven, and then when Reuven comes back, and Reuven says, I don't want a gift from Rabbi Shabalovsky, I don't want to mishub it to him, and everyone, it's a terrible Sefer anyway, I'm not interested in this gift. So we gloyed most of them afraid it wasn't a Zochin. I thought it was a Zochin. If we couldn't even this far determine that it was a Zochin, say, I do something for you, we can't even figure out whether it's a Zochin or not. Maybe it's a Chovin, maybe it's a Chov. So ain't Chovin that Rosh Hashanah. So unless it's a clear kind of Zechiah, I don't have a right to even start the ball rolling. But even from Tzalayma that it's a Zechiah, and objectively, to Zechiah, you have the ability to veto it. You can, when you find out, you can't veto it 20 years later, you have to veto it as soon as you find out. If you don't find out for 20 years, then you still have that veto power. As soon as you find out about it, you have to tell us quickly. Do you accept it? Do you not accept it? If you're not interested, that undoes the entire Zechiah. It's in Dina Mamlis, you have the same type of an idea. I remember years ago when one of my many illustrious roommates along the way was Rabbi Rapp Shlita. So one year he was running off to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, and he didn't want to be bothered to do any chametz in the room or something. So he decided he's going to be machdim me all the chametz. I should take care of all the chametz. I wasn't particularly interested in his chametz, so I wasn't even around. So he probably went to somebody else, and he may have said nice kinyan with somebody else. Somebody else should be zoicha for Rabbi Savulovsky for all the chametz in the room. So as soon as I found out about it, I was meichel with her. I said, "What? I'm not interested. I have enough trouble dealing with my own chametz. I don't want your chametz." So he was furious. So Kedaki was Kaddish. So he had a lot to say about it. But I told him, "I'm standing on my guard, and I'm undoing your zechiyah. I'm hereby declaring you're chalumchas. I'm not interested in being with your chametz. That's the din." So a person can undo his achiyah. That's what the post can talk about Nochas Erev. If a guy really, really wants to be a kanoi and disqualify an Erev, so he shouldn't go over to the wives and cut them down. He should simply have in mind he's not Zeich and the Matzahs. That should undo the entire Erev much, much easier. So we try to figure out how to get around that. Don't give anybody any good ideas. Okay, anyway, so here the Gemara says, so the Pashtas Varm is, this is undermining his achiyah. Once he declares that he's not interested in being Jewish, and then it turns out it was never really his chus personally for him, it was never his chus, and the whole thing wasn't his chus. So then in the middle, the whole thing is Basel Mavotol, so it turns out he was never Jewish from day one. So Gdilei Chalukos makes a lot of sense according to those who go down the route of Zachman Shalmachonim. What about Tyson Sanhedrin, who says that the Geirus here has nothing to do with Zachman Shalmachonim, it's based on a different mechanism altogether, it's based on Nasa Hageirus Bekufa Shalchatan. So Lamaisa, it's Nasa Hageirus Bekufa Shalchatan, so how could we make at a later point? So Tosfos and Sanhedrin asked this question themselves. They give an answer. Tosfos says that even though it's Nasa Geirus Bekufa Shalchatan, there's one part of the Geirus that's still lacking. What is that? Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Nobody would ever come to Mitzvahs. So comes Tosfos and says that Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is totally here. Where's going to be the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs? When they turn by Mitzvah. What's going to be the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs? That moment in time. If when they turn by Mitzvah, the kid comes to Shul and puts on Tzvil, they daven. So he would become a Mitzvahs. If the girl turns bas mitzvah and she is dressing tzanua and she's observing mitzvahs properly and everything, so good. It's saying tell him every day, right? So she's b'kavah mitzvahs and shalom Yisrael. But at the age of 13, all of a sudden he walks to the shul of David's bas mitzvah and says, I don't want anything to do with this. And he throws his tefillin down and he huffs and puffs out and he says, get me out of here, I'm going back to Treifus. So then that was a lack, obviously a lack of kabbalas and mitzvahs. So comes to Tzedra and says, Higdilichal Nuchas is not undoing the zechiyah, because we never went down the vehicle, we never went down the route of Zechiyah in the first place. Higdilichal Nuchos is an expression that there's a lack of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, which is absolutely critical for the Geirus to go on. So according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, we're almost having two stages, two-pronged Geirus. The Maaseh Geirus is happening at the age of 2 years old, to be determined at the age of 13, will we have Kabbalas HaMitzvahs or not? According to all the other Rishonim, according to Tosfos Subis and then the Rashba, and according to the Shach and everybody else, that's what's happening. There's one moment of Geirus. The one moment of Geirus is when the kid's 2 years old. Where's the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs? Pasha's Varm is that where's Zeichet? Kabbalas HaMitzvahs for him? The same way we say Zochet on the mice. And we say Zochet, where's the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs? That is Behel. That's a Zochet. I'm so fond of. At the age of 13, you can undermine that entire Zechus. You can say you don't want to be Jewish. Then it's the day. Then you're no longer Jewish. So everybody agrees in the end that if you look at Munchos, that's a Gemara. And I shouldn't say everybody. Somebody shouldn't say we don't pass like that Gemara. But everyone, at least at this point, agrees that Gdil Chal Nunchos. What the mechanism of Gdil Chal Nunchos is a big machlokes. Is Gdil Chal Nunchos a function of undoing the Zechiyah, or is Gdil Chal Nunchos a function of declaring that there's no more Kabbalas HaMitzvahs at that point? The Poskim write that we don't have to be worried about Gdil Chal Nunchos. It's not, most probably not going to happen. So if you write in a tshuva, if you raise a kid, and you give him a good chinuch, and you love him, and take care of him, so the odds are, when he turns 13, he won't rebel. Maybe when he gets older, we'll rebel, but that'll be too late. The Gemara says that Kevin Shea Gadol Shachas Shuvi Chal Nunchos. Once you're ready, you can start to be a Jewish, you start to observe mitzvahs properly, you have to bar bas mitzvah, then you can't turn around a month later and be moicha. Again, for either reason, either because the macho has to be expressed right away to undermine the schos, or because at the end of the day, once you become a mitzvah, the Geirus is over, finished. So whatever the longest, the bottom line is, it has to be. Gdil Chal Nunchos has to be otot right at that moment as you're embarking upon the world of Gadlus. Do we have possibilities that may exist where maybe a Geirus could take place that's not Gdil Ein Chal Nunchos? Does that make any sense? It would be a situation where you don't have the ability to be Meicha. So the Gemara really talks about different types of Giyakotan. The Gemara talks about Giyakotan of someone who we just found the baby in the middle of the street and they decide to convert it. Or, what if you have this guy in front of Imam, you have a whole non-Jewish family that decides to convert en masse. So they come with their 5-year-old boy and the 2-year-old girl, and they all come to convert together. So that's this guy in front of Imam. So there are some opinions in Rishon to maintain that by this guy in front of Imam, you don't have the option of Higdil Chal Nunchos. That was only by you find a kid lost in the street, then Higdil Chal Nunchos. So you have a whole family converts. You wouldn't say Higdil Chal Nunchos. What's the svar for that? Why should we differentiate that? I'm sorry for talks in the tshuva. Based on a whole discussion within Zechiyah itself. We said before that Zachman Shalmachonim lends itself to be undone. If when the recipient of that quote-unquote chos finds out and he says he's not as happy as we thought he would be, so for sure the Gemara says, for sure he can undo this chos, no question. As long as he reacts immediately and he says he's not interested, so he has the veto power. That's not a question. So there's a Rashba in the first part of Kedushim, where the Rashba raises a question that the Medrash Amura, maybe a person can only declare that his chus is not as chus for him, then that's a realistic statement. Namely, to give somebody a safe, to give somebody a gift, so there are pros and cons to giving gifts. Usually we assume people like to give gifts. People give birthday presents. People generally like to receive gifts. On the other hand, there is a downside of gifts. Not everyone likes to get a gift, and it's justifiable. Some people don't like to receive free gifts. And so, therefore, when somebody gets a gift, we're sizing up that he probably wants it, but if he turns around a month later, when he finds out about it and says, I don't want it, so then he has a right to do so. What if we give a person his clothes, and it's a hands-down clothes? It's not negotiable. There's no negativity to it. It's not what we call halachas chus goma. So the Rashi writes in Kedusha, lulei b'niskafina, I wouldn't be afraid. But he says it anyway. He says, lulei b'niskafina, I wouldn't be afraid. I wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Rashi says, lulei b'niskafina, and you have his chus gomor, so maybe you can't undo his chus gomor. Maybe it's just, it's objectively, it's chus gomor, you're going to undo it. So it could be that's what's going on here also. When you have a situation, you find the lost baby, so the baby gets converted, adopted by Jewish parents, but from people, is that his chus gomor? Not his chus gomor. It's a good thing. We're in favor of being Jewish. On the other hand, there's some very nice non-Jewish families out there. But also, by raising the kid happily. So we're not convinced that it's an absolute chus gomor for the child. It's a chus, so it's enough as chus for the din of zachlus shel mafanos to kick in, but it also opens up the possibility of bili chavru. Okay. When you have this guy running, the whole family is converted. So what's this child's approach? What other options available for him? The whole family is going to be Jewish. They're going to be from. They're going to be all his brothers are going to be learning in yeshiva. The girls are all going to be Yaakov, and this kid's going to be the grandson. That doesn't make any sense. Now, what kid would ever want to grow up in such a family setting? But for this child, Hashem Shom is converted with his biological parents. So if that's true, that's called Mamash Ein Lecha Tzchus Gadol Yosem Izeh. And if you hold that by Tzchus Gadol you can't be Meicha, we can begin to understand why some Rishonim are weary about letting you be Meicha. So Chassam Sofer talks about this tshuva about the possibility that maybe Gdil Chal Milchus is not always true. Gdil Chal Milchus is case by case. You have to see whether it's possible to apply that rule.
So if you say it is a Tzchus Gadol for him, therefore he's automatically Jewish, no way to go back. Would that depend on, would it matter if he's 12 years old and this happens, or if he's 1 year old and this happens?
I think this guy would want to be Mo. It's going to be very uncomfortable for the guy. His whole family is Jewish. He's going to be the guy, the teenager living in the gym. Everyone else keeping Shabbos and he's doing well. It's hard to believe. But however, this is all true. This whole discussion that we're having now is within that understanding that Geir of Geir Kotter is based on Tchus. What if Geir Kotter is not even based on Tchus? What if it's based on Nasa Maisa of the Gufa Shel Kotter? Nasa Geir of Gufa Shel Kotter? And the Gilus Anufas was a function of a lack of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So at the end of the day, if there was no Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, no Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, so what do I care whether it was good, very advantageous, 100% advantageous, 92%, 48%, not possibly. At the end of the day, when he turns by mitzvah, he's saying he doesn't want to be Jewish, so he's just, there's always Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. And you like the first approach of Rishon, that we did the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs on his behalf, but so we did it and finished it's over. But you all like Tosfos and Hebron that we didn't do any Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, and we didn't have the mechanism for Kabbalah HaMitzvahs for him. Because the chiyuv doesn't work for cutting the Torah. The best we can do for him is the ma'aseh geiros, that because he does it himself, and we can hold off till his bar mitzvah. So when he turns bar mitzvah, I don't care what it's his chus, it could be 100,000 million percent chus, but at the end of the day, he needs kabbalas and mitzvahs. So according to Tosfos Sanhedrin, so you would probably be able to be meicha. So this gets tricky a little bit about whether you can even apply gdil chal nuchas in some of these kinds of cases, which do happen. You have these cases of this guy running them all the time. So you have to figure out case by case to see, can you really, really invoke the principle of Igdil Echal Mumchasinah. There are further shailas in the Boston as to what exactly that means, Igdil Echal Mumchas. What if the child doesn't find out about it altogether? Are we supposed to tell him about it? That's good. In the olden days, this was a very, very common shaila, because years ago, we used to keep it, when the child was adopted, so they would try to keep everything was hush-hush, keep it to find out he was adopted. So in later years, well, the psychologist realized that that's not the best option in the world, because usually he's going to find out anyway, because in today's world, they'll find out at the age of 25 is adopted, and the whole identity crisis. So they're usually, the way it happens today, is the kid knows it's adopted anyway from day one. So the process of informing you about Shemir HaMitzvahs is a little bit less traumatic than it would have been potentially in the olden days. There is a big, big shaila, probably the most relevant issue in terms of Yechot and Bizman HaZeh, is when do we apply the rule that it's really his chos? Especially according to those who shall say being his chos is a shikur of the opponent. What's called being his chos? So Rabbi Shireti and other poskim discuss the problem. What if you have a situation where the family wants to adopt the child, but the family's not so from themselves? So is that his chos? Is that his chos for the kid? So if according to many, maybe most of the Rishonim, the Akhoptin is predicated on the simple reading of the Gemara, Ksuvah Shidal, it's got to be his chos. Is that his chos? You're taking a non-Jewish kid. All he has to do is keep Shabbos Binoch, and you're throwing him into becoming a Jewish kid, and he's not going to have Shabbos, Kasher, he's not going to go to Yeshiva. What kind of source is that? So some posuk said tahara, some not supposed to. And therefore, if you would try to convert such a kid, it wouldn't work with the other. Because according to most Rishonim, you have to go down the root, except for Tarzan and Hedron, but according to most Rishonim, you have to go down the root of Zchos, and they can't really label this as a Zchos in Halacha, so that would be a big problem. So Ramosha was not the Lachachal on this. Ramosha writes that well, it's still better to be Jewish, just to being Jewish, even if we're not observant. That in itself may very well qualify as a Zchos, and maybe we could sanction, whether we should recommend it or not, it's a different story, but maybe we can sanction such a Geirus. So not everyone was comfortable with that. A big, big question in the poskim. Many of the Bati Dinim today will not convert the child unless there's some real commitment of the family to give him a real substantial kabbalah mitzvah in the sense of a real Jewish upbringing. At what point will we say that the family has come far enough to that, different guidelines and different Bati Dinim have? The Rav used to say, you have to. Family has at least committed to living in a from the community and from the shul shabbos, and the kid's going to be enrolled in a yeshiva. It has to be some kind of a semblance of a Torah lifestyle. If not, in the middle of Wyoming and converting a kid because the parents are not from and they want to have a Jewish child, and the parents don't keep Shabbos kashrus, nothing. So that's a very, unless you go down Rav Moshe's route, it's a very, very shaky, whether that here is going to be chal altogether. So Gerkotan, it's a little bit tricky. It's invoked a lot today, with adoption, all these kinds of things. It's invoked Gerkotan a lot. But you have to be careful to make sure that's meeting the criteria of Gerkotan. So again, the issues you have to ask yourselves in terms of Gerkotan, so you have to always ask yourself, is this a schos, not a schos, and is the subject of this to do with Amuchos, how does that play out in terms of the Maisa? This is, the basic tsura of the sugya of Gerkotan. Next week, we'll talk about something that we spoke about a little earlier, about Mubarashi's Gaira, the strange kind of a case of Gerkotan, how that plays out and some of the implications, especially because Banazef, that sugya of Mubarashi's Gaira. And then we'll try to give a couple of odds and ends about some, post-Gayrus issues, things that come up and related to some of the pre-Gayrus issues and the post-Gayrus issues. Try to wrap things up next week. Okay.
I'll walk you in. Do you mind?